We're turning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, and the words of the 48th verse. I'd like to take as our text tonight. Mark 9, verse 48. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. It's a sobering, solemn portion of Scripture. It's a sobering and solemn text. The words particularly there, the final statement of the verse, and the fire is not quenched. Remember how important it is to read. We encourage every Christian to be a reader. Hosea the prophet said that my people are destroyed through a lack of knowledge. There's nothing like a bit of reading to challenge and stir your heart, especially a good Christian biography. I'd encourage you to read the life of W.P. Nicholson, the greatly used Ulster evangelist. Interesting that our late brother John Walker, that was laid to rest this week, had the privilege and opportunity to sit under the ministry of W.P. Nicholson. One of the stories, particularly if you read Mr. Barnes's book, All for Jesus, on the life of Mr. Nicholson, in his early evangelistic efforts, he laboured in Scotland and Lanarkshire for about 5 years or thereabouts. He was holding meetings in a town on one occasion that weren't being very well supported. The attendance was very poor. He didn't know what to do. It was nearly as if hardly anybody in the town knew that the meetings were taking place. One day he was out. It was the days of the town crier. And he met the man. He was announcing an auction. And the way the announcements were made was he would walk down the street with a bell in his hand, and he would ring the bell and make the announcement to everyone just as he walked along. And it gave Nicholson an idea. He gave him 2 and 6 to borrow his bell. And that evening, coming near the meeting time, he went to the top of the town, tied his coat around his waist, and he walked down the street with a bell in his hand, ringing the bell loudly as he went. He said the people looked out of their houses and they came out into the street to see this madman, to see what he was doing. And what Nicholson did as he walked down the street ringing the bell was he shouted, "Fire! Fire! Fire!" He came to the bottom of the town, into the centre, and there was a Covenanter monument there, and he jumped up onto the monument. The crowds had come out and followed him down the street into the town centre. And he turned round to those people. And this is what he said. "Hellfire is coming." And he actually said, "Hellfire is coming for you covenanting Presbyterians. And I'm trying to keep you out of it." What he was seeking to do, men and women, was to sound a very clear and a very definite warning of the dangers of a lost eternity. You know, there was a prayer meeting going on, a midweek service in the wee freeze, as they were called. Alexander Smellie was the minister of that church. He wrote that great book on the men of the covenant. All of those people come out, and he was greatly challenged by what Nicholson did. He thought any man that would go to those lengths to bring the people in to hear the gospel is worthy of our support. So he went every night to the meetings. And because he went, the people went too. They thought, if the minister's going, these must be meetings that we should give our support to. So it turned around that whole evangelistic outreach. And tonight, men and women, just as Mr. Nicholson did, that was way back in the year 1903, something over 100 years ago. And just as he did that night in Lanarkshire, we want to do the same in our gospel service tonight. We want to warn you with all our heart, with all our might, and with all our soul about the danger of going to a lost eternity. And especially tonight, we want to warn you of the danger that there's fire in eternity, fire in hell, for all that die without Christ as their Savior. There's 2 things simply about that fire that I want to emphasize and drive home to your hearts with the help of the Lord, and pray the Holy Spirit might apply it to you tonight. Two things. Think first of all, as you consider the solemn subject of hellfire, remember that it's literal fire. If you think of the words of our text, verse 48, it says, the fire, it's not just fire, the fire is not quenched. This verse and the word of God, men and women, as it talks about hell and it talks about the possibility and the danger of a lost eternity, it teaches about real fire in that place. And I pray that by the power of God's Spirit you'll see and understand and take in that truth as never before. We're not speaking tonight about something that is fiction. There's a great interest in reading stories, even Christian fiction. We're not talking tonight about something that falls into the realm of fiction. This is not something, men and women, that is imaginary. It's not something that is made up. What we're speaking about, what the Word of God teaches about in regard to this matter, is something that is actual and real. You look in the wintertime on the hearth. You look at the flames that ascend up the chimney from the fire. And you know that they're real. You know the danger. Well, I want you to understand that hellfire, men and women, is just as real and just as dangerous. You will know that the scriptures teach us in types or in pictures. And fire is a type of different things in the Word of God. Fire is a symbol of God's presence, a picture of God's presence. Moses at the burning bush, that was a symbol of the Lord being present himself. The pillar of fire, as the children of Israel wandered through the wilderness, that was a symbol, a picture of the Lord being amongst his people. Fire as well is a symbol of God's judgment. You think of the fires of God that fell from heaven upon the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the other cities round about. It was a symbol, an indication of the judgment of God upon the vileness and the wickedness of those places. Think as well that fire is a picture of the Word of God. Is not my word like as a fire, Jeremiah said. So the fire is a type of many things in the Word of God. But it's always real fire, men and women. There may be pictures, there may be imagery, but the fire itself is always real. So I want you to understand that. The fire of the Bible, the fire of a lost eternity, the fire particularly of hell and the lake of fire, is something that is literal. And let me remind you, we have two great testimonies. The Bible says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Well, let me give you two witnesses to the fact that the fire is literal. You have the testimony of one in hell. Remember Luke chapter 16? Let me remind you tonight, men and women, Luke 16 is not a parable. The Jehovah's Witnesses would want you to think that. That's one of the ways that they try to explain away the reality of what is taught in that portion. Luke 16 is not a parable. It's true. It's real. The Lord Jesus said, a certain, mark the words, a certain rich man. Here's something that actually happened. It was a fact, something that was true to life. Can I encourage you to think of the real things in Luke chapter 16? There's the real place. Remember, the rich man in hell wanted his five brothers to be warned, lest they also come to this place. Hell's a real place. It speaks about real people, a certain rich man, and also the beggar called Lazarus. So there's a real place. The Savior's speaking about real people. And he's talking, men and women, about a real punishment, about real fire. He said, the rich man, here's the testimony. Listen carefully to it.
It's in the Word of God for a very important reason. The rich man said, I am tormented in this flame. So there's the testimony, men and women, of one who's actually there and still there to this very day and will be there forever. The testimony of one actually perishing in that place. And he said, what did that rich man say as he spoke about it and he described it? He said, there's flames. There's actual fire in hell. So I want you to listen. Take to heart tonight very carefully the testimony of that man. Do you know what the Lord does in Luke chapter 16 and passages like it? He draws back the curtain. He gives you a little look. He gives you a little glimpse at eternity. He wants you to see those eternal realities. And that's why the Lord has put that testimony into the Bible, so that you can hear the very words of one that is there, speaking of the reality of the place and the reality of the torment of the flames. So we have the testimony of one in hell. And as well as that, men and women, in the Bible you've also the testimony of the one that made hell. Remember, the Bible says of the Lord Jesus that he made all things. He's the creator of everything. Without him was not anything made that was made. And remember that hell was prepared or created for the devil and his angels. The Lord Jesus is the one that made it. And we have his testimony, even here in this portion. Did you notice there in verse 39, it says in the portion, But Jesus said, these men and women are the words of Christ. And in this passage, we read the end of the chapter, and in this entire portion, he spoke at length about hell, and he emphasized not just once, but repeatedly. He didn't want you to miss it. He wanted you to see it and clearly understand it. Seven times in this short portion, he spoke about the fire of hell. Here's the testimony, men and women, of the one that made that place. And the Lord Jesus said, there's fire in hell. Do you know what he has done in passages like this? He leaves you in absolutely no doubt of the reality of that place and the reality of the fire that awaits you if you go there for all eternity. So remember the words of Christ. And remember that he often warned. This isn't an isolated portion. Mark chapter 9. The Lord Jesus often warned. In fact, it is said that no person, just take this in, men and women, no person ever spoke and warned more about hell than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No person ever preached more. There's no record in the Bible of anyone preaching more on this subject than the tender, compassionate Son of God. Luke 16, the Sermon on the Mount. In that great sermon, he spoke very directly and talked about the danger of hellfire. He often preached about it, and as he did on every occasion, he said the fire was real. Remember Matthew 13, the chapter of the parables. Think particularly of the parable of the tares and the wheat. Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. Whenever they came into the house that day, the disciples wanted the Lord Jesus particularly to explain that parable to them. And he did. The field was the world, the good seed, the children of the kingdom. The tares, the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed that seed or sowed the tares was the devil. The harvest, the end of the world or the end of the age. The reapers were the angels. But what did he say of the fire, men and women? Do you know what he said? The fire was still fire. These are his very words. Shall cast them into a furnace of fire. And I want to impress that on your heart tonight. When the Lord Jesus explained the meaning of that parable, the fire wasn't representative. It wasn't representative of something else. He taught very plainly the fire was real. And if the fire was anything else, if it did speak of anything else, that was the time to say. That was the time to highlight it, to unfold it, to make it known. But he didn't, men and women. Do you know why he didn't? Because the fire is real. And I want to say to you tonight, be in absolutely no doubt, don't be deceived. Don't believe the lie of the devil that he would whisper in your ear. The fire in hell, men and women, is literal fire. And as literal fire, it is hot. It's a place of extreme, unbearable heat. You know, sometimes you're in a place that gets too warm. You want the heater, the heater switched off. Well, that'll never happen in hell. You can never be cooled. You remember the rich man? He wanted Lazarus just to bring a drop of water and put that little drop of water on his tongue that it might be cooled. But you know, there's no water in hell, men and women. No water to extinguish the flames, to alleviate the heat, to cool down those souls that are perishing there. During my years in Mullaghlass, I interviewed a young lady one night for church membership. As we generally do, we ask all candidates for membership just to give a brief word of testimony, tell how they came to the Lord. She said that what spoke to her, she went home one night from the children's meeting. She had been going to the children's meetings at the Tandragee Church held in the little Acton Hall for many years. Went home from the children's meeting. It was a cold winter's night. There was a lovely fire glowing in the hearth. And she sat down beside the fire. And it got very, very hot, very warm. And she pushed herself back a little, sat back from the fire as often you would do. And the thought crossed her mind, just as a child, you know, if I went to hell, if I went to that awful, I could never get away from the fire. I could never push myself away from the flame. And it was that very sobering thought that brought her through for Christ. As literal fire, it's hot. Extreme heat, men and women. As well as that, as literal fire, it's something that burns. Isaiah the prophet spoke about the everlasting burnings. Be you in no doubt tonight. See it clearly. The fire of hell is something that burns. You think of the pain. Is there anything more extreme, more excruciating, more awful than the pain of a burn? And I tell you tonight, on the authority of the word of God, those in hell suffer. They suffer terrible pain. They suffer terrible burnings. Luke 16, I am tormented in this flame. The pain that they experience, men and women, is something that is unimaginable. And remember, this is where you will go if you go to lost eternity, if you leave this world without Christ as your Savior. The fire in hell is literal. The other thing I want to emphasize to you is this, that the fire of hell, that real fire, is something that is eternal. Do you notice the words of our text? Just look at them slowly and carefully tonight. The fire is not quenched. That means, men and women, the fire never goes out. It's never extinguished. The fire of that place, as well as being something that is literal, is something that is eternal. It's something that burns forever and forever. Some of you remember during the Gulf War in Kuwait, when all the oil wells were blown up, they had to send those specialists from America because of the fires that were burning for weeks and months from those oil wells, some of them for a very long time.
You know, out in Butte, Montana, in a mine, there was a miner called Henshaw. He was leaving the mine one night. And it was in the days when they used candles. And he foolishly and carelessly left his candle sitting upon a beam, a pine beam, down there in the mine. Didn't take it with him. His colleague challenged him about it as they were leaving, but he wouldn't remove it. And it set fire to the beam and set fire to the mine, and they spent a fortune and they spent a lot of time trying to contain that fire. Do you know how long it smouldered? For over 20 years. There's actually an underground fire in a coal mine in Cadiman in Alberta in Canada. They say that the fire began to burn in 1919. The book that I read the story in is maybe 25 years of age. The fire was still burning then. Even in the coldest winters, the little bit of ground above that mine, the grass is as green and as lush and as fresh as it would be in springtime because of the heat of the fire that has burned below it all of those years. There are some fires on earth, men and women, that have burned a long time, a long, long time. But listen to me carefully tonight. The fire that we're speaking about, the fire that the Lord Jesus spoke of here, preached about, warned of in this passage, it's not a fire that will burn for a few weeks or burn for a few months or even for a few years. Understand it clearly. This is a fire that will burn forever. It will never be quenched. And you know, in the portion, as he mentioned fire seven times, he made that statement that it would never be quenched five times over. He doesn't want you to miss it. He's left you in absolutely no doubt of this fact, men and women. The fire can never be extinguished. It is an unquenchable fire. And that, what that means is this. It doesn't matter how far into eternity you go, how far into eternity future you go, that fire will never be burnt out. Never be put out. Not a fearful thought, men and women. We sing those words when we have been there 10,000 years. I've heard choirs sing Newton's great hymn, "When we've been there 10 trillion years." Well, when you've been in hell 10 trillion years, the fires of that place will burn no dimmer, no cooler than they've ever done. It doesn't matter how far into eternity you go. Isaiah, I quoted that verse to you earlier. He speaks about the everlasting burnings. That's one of the great themes of the book of Isaiah. If you want to go through that book, follow the theme of the everlasting things. So many of them that he mentions. Here's one of the most solemn. Everlasting burnings. The burnings that lasts forever. You know, there's a picture of that. We talked about pictures. The Old Testament tabernacle. The fire on the altar. The fire upon which they set those continual sacrifices. The fire never went out. The fire on the altar was something that was always burning. And as such, men and women, it was a picture of hell. Do you see how clearly God warned and reminded the Israelites of old of the fire of hell, the punishment in eternity, the fact of that inextinguishable fire that would never go out? Sometimes you hear in this world about eternal flames. There's one in the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. Whenever John F. Kennedy died, his wife Jackie, thinking about the eternal flames so-called in Paris, thought she would like to have an eternal flame placed upon his grave. And there's a flame burnt upon his grave because of that ever since to this very day. But remember this, men and women. There is only one eternal flame. And it's the flame in hell. Whenever Jude was talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and what God did to those cities, he used these words: the vengeance of eternal fire. That's very enlightening. That, men and women, is very interesting. The vengeance of eternal fire. God rained, remember? Rained. Fire and brimstone. We were in Portugal for a few days last week. They had had a hailstone or a hailstorm a couple of weeks before. They showed pictures of it, that someone set a euro coin in their hand and set the hailstone beside it. The hailstone was just the same size as the euro coin. They rained hailstones down upon that land. That would have been severe enough. But the Bible says of Sodom and Gomorrah that God rained fire and brimstone from heaven upon them. What a destruction they received. What sort of fire was it, men and women, that fell from heaven? It's not a good question to ask. Well, Jude tells you that's one of the reasons why it's good to compare the Old Testament with the New Testament. Compare one portion with another. Jude says of the fire that fell upon Sodom, it was eternal fire. Eternal fire. What does that mean? What's that speaking about? Does that not mean, men and women, that the very fire of God's vengeance, the very fire of God's wrath, the very fires of hell? Because remember, hell is the only place there is eternal fire. It was the very fires of hell, of God's judgment, that fell upon those cities. And I want you to see, men and women, that that real eternal flame, that's what you'll experience. Take that in tonight. Here's what you will experience forever and forever if you die without Christ as your Savior. The fire of hell, literal and eternal. Let me say this to you just as I finish tonight. Saved. What a word it is. Some people don't like to use it. Sadly, some ministers don't like to use it. What a word it is. Great gospel word. Saved. You tell someone, you must be saved. You need to be saved. Often the question comes back, and it's a good question. Saved from what? Are you asking that tonight, men and women? I hope you are. What do you need to be saved from? You need to be saved from your sin. You need to be saved from the consequences and the punishment of your sin. What is that? It's hell forever. Saved. You need to be saved from the awful realities that we have been speaking about in this gospel service tonight. You need to be delivered and rescued from perishing in the fire forever and forever. Robert Murray McShane, the great Scottish preacher, died in his 29th year, or 29 years of age. But this is a volume of the sermons of Robert Murray McShane, published by the Banner of Truth in Scotland. He has a sermon on Mark chapter 9 and verse 44. Just up the portion a little from what we have been considering tonight. In many ways a similar verse. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. One of those five times in this portion alone, where the Savior warns of inextinguishable fire. Robert Murray McShane actually preached this sermon on the Sabbath day, the 15th of July, 1842. That was just a short time, maybe 8 or 9 months before he died. And this is the note that they put into this sermon. Just a little historical note about the end of Robert Murray McShane's life. It would seem, as McShane's ministry drew towards at sudden close that the future of the unconverted and the reality of eternal judgment was more urgently than ever brought before the minds of his hearers. In the last 9 months of his ministry, and that takes in this sermon I have before me in the book at the moment. In the last 9 months of his ministry, he preached at least 4 times on hell to his own congregation. That was in St. Peter's at Dundee. It was also the burden of his last message in Andrew Bonner's church at Collis, a sermon so solemn that one said it was like a blast of the trumpet that would awaken the dead. Think of that, the last 9 months of his ministry. He knew that his time was short, and it brought an urgency, men and women, to the ministry of the gospel, to the sound that he brought forth to his people, to the message and to the word that he sounded so clearly to his congregation. The urgency to flee from the wrath to come. 4 times, at least, in those last 9 months. And I plead, men and women, that the reality of eternal judgment will come before you tonight, especially if you know not Christ, that the message you've heard will be a blast of the trumpet that would awaken the dead, speak powerfully, solemnly, savingly to your heart tonight. Let it be known, men and women, understand plainly the reality of these things of which we speak. And there's nothing more earnest, nothing more serious, nothing more urgent than for you to be saved tonight. Saved from the fire of hell. That fire that the word of God, that the Savior himself said, is not quenched. I pray God will speak to your heart in this service tonight. 236, please. 236.